The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In due course, John the Baptist appeared. He preached in the wilderness of Judea, and this was his message: Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. This was the man the prophet Isaiah spoke of when he said, A voice cries in the wilderness, Prepare a way for the Lord, make his path straight. This man John wore a garment made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole Jordan district made their way to him. And as they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, they confessed their sins. But when he saw a number of Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, Brood of vipers, who warned you to fly from the retribution that is coming? But if you are repentant, produce the appropriate fruit, and do not presume to tell yourselves, We have Abraham for our father, because, I tell you, God can raise children for Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe is laid to the roots of the trees, so that any tree which fails to produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown on the fire. I baptize you in water for repentance, but the one who follows me is more powerful than I am, and I am not fit to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn in a fire that will never go out. The Gospel of the Lord. I think most people dream of a golden age. Once we've been around a bit, we often speak about the good old days, which usually means when we were young. But it's certainly something we can easily slip into, is, as time goes by, thinking of a golden age. Many ancient peoples also had the same sort of golden age vision. The Greeks had it, the Romans had it, and they saw it when there'd be no more hard work and there'd be no more suffering and no more natural disasters. And when they would see that the gods and human people would live in harmony. And of course, that's very much part of an Old Testament image that comes through to the Christian ideal of humanity before the fall. So before Adam and Eve walked in peace and harmony with each other and with God and with the whole of creation. Because following the fall, we know the disaster, and the pagan equivalent of that was called the Iron Age. Iron because everything had become more difficult and everything less harmonious. And so we speak, and we still do, speak of someone ruling with a rod of iron. And we often think that rod of iron should be applied to others, but not us. Unless we're the one wielding it, of course, and then we think it's right. But it wasn't a pleasant experience, and it never is. And so that vision of a golden age came through in Isaiah's time, that first reading, so strong, and we know it so well, so beautiful, the panther lying down with the kid and the child playing over the snake and all that sort of vision, the lion, and all that vision. And then we know it's a vision, but it's not the reality. It's not reality. We see it in the world around us, and yet. And then it's reflected in the Psalms, because it speaks of one coming, as Isaiah does, a sign going to come from the shoot of Jesse, and picked up in the Psalm, in his days justice shall flourish, peace till the moon fails, everything to give us hope. And that's picked up again in St. Paul in our second reading to give us hope and teaching us. Everything written in the past is there for us to learn from. In the midst of all that comes John the Baptist. A daunting figure, to say the least. If you and I met him today, if he was wandering round the streets, would we be startled at the sight of this wild, unconventional, uncompromising man? Well, sometimes we do see people like that. We used to see them in the centre of London. I'm sure there are some around as well. Sometimes startling, unconventional, and uncompromising, dressed in rough garments. But he was also a compelling figure, because it said Jerusalem and Judea and the whole of the Jordan district, the whole area. He sort of found this figure there compelled. He drew them something to him. And every Sunday, on this second Sunday of Advent, each year, whichever lection we're using, whichever sort of year of the lection it is, we get this voice challenging us from the desert, from the wilderness. And for any people, there's a wilderness. You think, I was only reflecting the other day how some of the east coast of our country, and you saw the homes falling into the sea, the kitchen, the bathroom, just folding up and falling into the sea. Or the man where my mum and dad retired to Scarborough, jumped out of his van at the right time and the wave came and his van's floated off out to sea. And we think of the people in the wave, the typhoon, still in the Philippines. And so there's all this going on. And that's what the Lord always said there would be. He said there would be floods. He said there would be earthquake. He said there would be famine. He said there would be storm and torment. And there'd be all these things going on. And then John comes. And it's not an easy message he gives to either. He wasn't trying to woo his audience to love him, but he's really saying, repent, sort out your life, clear up your vision, reassess your values in life, and then do something about improving. And when we listen to the news, was the message repentance, confession, and reconciliation more attractive then than it is now? Because often when we see either natural disaster happening, or we see people's lives portrayed in front of us. You think of Nigella at the moment, of course. But all that sort of thing, we're bombarded with it all the time. And it's crying out for that repentance. What she said was, put me on charge if that's what you want. That sort of repentance, conversion, change of values, change of life, change of way of looking, and all the time it's coming back, but focusing on Jesus. That was the one John points to that we get to next week. An important aspect of our Christian life always is focusing back on Jesus. And of course that's why Advent, each Sunday we light the candle, each one drawing nearer to the babe in the manger, as it were. But that celebration again of his birthday, a reminder which we do of our own each year, it's coming back to the Lord. And Pope Francis has asked us always, just focus back on Jesus. John Paul II was always saying, come back, look at the face of Jesus, the babe, the young face, the suffering face, the risen face. Benedict, who wrote 3 books on Jesus of Nazareth. So all of it's coming the same way. That changing, looking back to him. I think the other bit of the news that also we've had, of course, is the death of Nelson Mandela. And in a sense, they're shining through. Obviously, there's a lot said, a lot more going to be said, a lot more going to be written. But nevertheless, that shining through was not the bitterness of 27 years in prison, but only when he came out speaking of forgiveness and repentance and peace and harmony. And they're all Advent visions, but they're visions that bring us to Christ. And that's always our focus at this time. So, Advent always, like Lent, but not in quite the same way, always has a penitential aspect to it. And we've got our Advent penitential service a week on Tuesday, or there's one in Campbell the next night, or one in Falmouth the next night. But it's really for us to say, come back. The call of God to change of heart, repentance and conversion. For the Lord is coming.